Amen. Okay, we're going to begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, March 8, 2012, at 6:11. The first order of business this evening then will be the 2012 Hadley Parking Lot Stormwater Project. And then right after I finish that presentation and discussion about what's occurred over the past few months, I'll just talk briefly about the intergovernmental agreement. It's titled here Construction Use and Indemnification Agreement, Glencoe Street between Hawthorne Boulevard and Thomas Road. So I just wanted to begin. Dan had a couple of questions. Dan, I think I answered your questions, responded to them, but I thought it might be helpful. In my spare time, I created this document here, painted it up, as you will. Thank you. In either case, Dan, you asked, well, where have we gone from when we started this project to where we're at today? So you have the presentation in front of you. I'm just going to kind of walk through it now, and I'll follow your packets accordingly. And if you have any questions, please let me know, okay? Alrighty, so this is an aerial view of the existing site conditions in Hadley. Obviously, it shows the front parking lot, the building itself, and the field, as well as the proposed alternate C1 for the Glencoe Street development. We went through and we cited a number of issues that sort of brought this entire project to the forefront. And as I said earlier, those are indicated in your packet. We talked about safety and congestion. We talked about safety and circulation. Circulation patterns in itself are poorly designed for the entrance block during special ed van operations. Safety and congestion. There's a lot of issues with regards to down here in this area to pull off right along Hawthorne. We have entrance and exit issues around here. This number one is indicated. Actually, this is just entrance. Number four is entrance and exit. And then we have the same problem over here in this area that exits along Glencoe. And then also the bus is currently picked up on the northbound lanes of Glencoe. This is used as a bus pickup area in the afternoon. During the morning, the buses all come in westbound on Hawthorne, get into the parking lot here, come up, do their drop-offs right here in this area, and then exit. And I believe most all of them exit going north on north on Glencoe. Mm-hmm. So, this is the existing view and aerial view of the Hadley parking lot focused. It has the arrows that indicate traffic patterns. And so this is just pretty much a rehash of what I've gone through. Page here is a proposed design organizational diagram, the base view itself. I'll just kind of walk through this and what's occurred. And there might be some repeat between this and the next few slides, but I'll try to give it an overall view right now. This is the proposed base bid diagram. There have been changes made that as a result of conversations that took place between here, CSO, and the building. After we had already presented to the board sort of the last minute, the administration, the building came back, Hadley came back and asked us if we would consider. Originally, it was a plan for special ed drop-off right here along Hawthorne Boulevard, which means the buses, they put their arm out. There's a lot of loading and unloading for special ed kids. That itself takes a lot of time. So they were concerned the bus comes up, drops its arm. What are the traffic implications and how much is that going to actually disrupt traffic? First of all, those citizens that just wish to use Hawthorne as sort of a cross boulevard through town. And then also what implications does it have for parents trying to drop kids off, as well as other buses that are arriving or departing from Hawthorne. So what we did during the redesign stage is we created a single drop-off zone here that will have signage restricted for special ed use only. Now I realize when the special ed buses aren't there, there may be parents that will drive in there, but this, with the width of this drop-off zone, is just enough for the special ed buses. In other words, a parent decides to pull in here, that parent cannot pull up or try to pull alongside and get through on these buses. It is designed specifically for a single lane of bus traffic.
And I would guess we'll have personnel stationed there at least at the beginning.
At least in the beginning. And like I said, we will have signage on each side of it, letting people know that it is restricted for special ed vehicle drop-off.
Because currently there's a special education bus and a SEPTRAN, I think, and when they're in between the lot that has the 15-minute parking and the turnaround, cars do pull right by them, even with their stop signs out. And I've seen Dr. Dranzoff come out and talk to them and blah, blah, blah. But,
it's problematic. I've spoken to a lot of administrators or teachers that are out there, and they have told me that they will literally have to jump in front of a car to get them to stop when those arms are out. In other words, the parents are out and say, typically do not pay attention to the directions that are being given. So you can't see it here, but in your package you'll notice where the special ed drop-off is now. It's sort of in that handicap area where there's 15-minute parking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the design will have one entrance here specifically for the special ed buses. And then we'll have the secondary or primary entrance will be along here, right off of Hawthorne. If you'll notice, this area now has been designated with two arrows due to recommendations by the city of the Village of Glen Ellyn Police Department. They, at least initially, want this used just as an entrance point. They do not want vehicles exiting along Hawthorne. They're concerned about the same traffic issues that we have now will result in sort of the same situations if we change the lot versus what we have now. Now, Bill Homer kind of came in and did this last second. I have an understanding. We have we've had a conversation and we agreed we'll make these recommended changes now with review maybe every 6 months to see if it's working for us, if it's working for the community, if it's working for the police department. So although we have it designed like this, it was not originally put up like that, but it will be under review to make sure that's the best way to handle the traffic, at least in that site. So as you can see, all the above ground detention has been removed. It's all underground as designated in this area right here. This is the size and the design of that underground detention that will hold approximately 55,000 cubic feet of water, which is larger than what we need. But we thought if we're going to go under that lot now, why not take care of any other, if there's changes to the site over the years, if there's additional building or whatever that may be, we'll have sufficient detention available to just tap into. So there's some notations down here. You'll see bus loading. All the buses will come in here. If we only go with the base bid, all the buses will be let out right here in this area. We do have parent parking along Hawthorne. Here a bus, a parent loading or unloading along Hawthorne in this area, just east of our property, then along the front of the building itself, as well as parents just decide to pull into the lot and then exit along Glencoe. We will also have an entrance point along Glencoe. The traffic will come in and will circle around. I guess that would be a clockwise direction. And again, there will be no exit point on the Hawthorne. You come in, you sort of circulate through the site, and you'll exit back out on Glencoe. So there'll be one entrance point along Hawthorne, and along Glencoe will be drop off and pick up.
Bob, what was the thing the village wanted us to do, but they were going to kick in?
Yeah, that's right here in this area here. Okay, I was going to get that under my next slide. Let's see what we can do. I don't have it indicated on your...
Which is back one for you and your package.
Oh, this, all these slides are in your package, but basically what it is in this... Well, that's changed, okay. So in this area here, let me just give you, I'll start on the east end of the property. The village is going to come in and they're going to, what they call stub out, they're going to stub out an area here where if we ever do anything with the eastern portion of this property, if it's another storm system or whatever, we'll have the village come in and, as I said, put in the plumbing right to the corner of our property there. So there won't be any additional work like out on Hawthorne should we ever change, you know, the site itself, change the building and so forth. So that's one benefit that we're having with this project here. They're going to stub out for any future development along the east side or any changes to the east side of the property. Also, this line here, this water line, is 50 plus years old. It's a 4-inch water line. The village is coming in. They're going to go basically right up here in this area here. So all of the utility work they're going to do, and they're going to replace it with an 8-inch line. So basically, they'll double the size of the water capacity in that building. Mm-hmm. One of the good points is 2 years ago when we did the Hadley addition back here, mm-hmm. the water was actually brought in off of this back street. I don't remember what the name of that street is. It was a cul-de-sac back here. Our water for that back portion of the building was brought in off of this side street back here because we didn't have enough capacity in the line itself. Mm-hmm. So we brought water in, but that we'll still have that ability, but the village will be increasing our capacity right in this area.
So, Bob, when you say brought water in, that's the tap water,
yeah.
plumbing water, toilet water, all that water
all
that we use in the building.
That's correct.
Kitchen, whatever.
For that addition, it comes in off the back of our property, for the majority of the building is brought in the front of the property. And again, it's going from a 4-inch to an 8-inch line. They'll be making all the utility upgrades in this area here. They'll be doing all the paving demo, and then they'll be coming in and do sidewalk, curb, gutter, things of that nature. Anything right in from about here all the way back to the edge of our property, sort of in a big loop right here. They will be picking up the tap for that work. We had a meeting with Bob Minnix with the village, Ron Richardson with FGM. The village's, I believe it's ERA, is their engineers. We talked about the throw-in for this type of work, and it's about $25,000. We said somewhere between $25,000 and $50,000. In your board report, I indicated the minimum work value of about $25,000. Mm-hmm. And then, again, this just shows this is the existing site, but these are the changes that are going to be proposed in terms of bus loading, parent drop-off, pickup, things of that nature. They're showing where things occur presently. Okay? Then we're going to move on to the next page. And what this does here is you have already seen what the base bid looks like. Now you're going to see the base bid changes over here on the right, as well as C1 alternate, the alternate C1. That is where we're going to develop the easement along Glencoe, and there'll be a bus drop-off and pick-up here. Any easement between Hawthorne and our driveway on the northern end. And then it will be from the southernmost point of this area here, that's the north of the driveway from here, virtually to the end of our property, back up along the north side of the play fields there. So that's the intention here. Also, this will be developed for diagonal parking. So what we're going to do is we'll put restricted parking in there for drop-off and pickup, bus zone parking, or drop-off and pickup, probably an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. But outside of that time, there'll be spaces for something in excess of 34 cars in this area here. So Dan, you asked for, so what is the lot like now, presently? We have approximately 118 cars in there now. The changes will bring it up to about 126. So you'll get some increased parking. Primarily, this is about, you know, circulation issues, safety issues, traffic, congestion, things of that nature. Really serve is the impetus behind driving this redesign. Also, Dan, I did want to note here that there is the alternate C1 where you're going to get something in excess of 30 cars of parking along Glencoe.
What is the what's this existing east lot worth then?
It's on the east side of the
building,
right off Hawthorne.
Oh, that's the one on the back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the side.
Kind of an arrow entrance, and it's in the.
So, what, I guess if I just want to compare apples to apples, what is Which number is the existing front lot?
It's the 118.
Okay, so what will the new...
It's right next to 126. Right there. Plus the 30 additional cars along Glen Cove.
So what I'm confused is, if I add 34 to 92, I get 126, but you're not, we're not changing the 34. So you said 34 is in the back, but we're not touching it.
I don't, were you, 34, what do you mean by that?
So it's really 92 to 118, you're saying, the comparison to the existing parking lot in the front of the building to the new parking lot in the front of the building is 92 to 118.
Right, that's what I'm just trying to say.
Because the above, the figure above is the east lot of 34 parking spots.
Which is the same today and before remains
right.
The same.
So if you added 34 to 118, then you'd have 152.
132. I'm sorry, 152.
34.
Though, I guess the part, I thought this 92, wasn't it lower? That's the other thing I was trying to understand, is as a result of all these changes. Because I thought we were very close parity-wise.
Yeah,
You mean in terms of the number of parking spaces?
Right.
Yeah, the number of parking spaces is actually supposed to increase in that lot.
Well, unless this is mismarked. Well, you know what? I don't have my glasses on. But
I'm going to have to go back and...
There's 78 in the main, when you count right here.
Mm-hmm.
There's
78.
Currently? So this must be a combination on the left of both the east lot and the front lot, and they just didn't... They disaggregated it on the right and not on the left.
But they didn't note it on the left side.
I think we're expecting
about 8 additional parking spaces.
That's okay. That's about what I just wanted to know with the changes from what we approved to be,
yeah.
And the changes that have occurred, were any spots lost? Or
no, we're actually expecting about eight additional parking spaces overall.
So, in other words, the request that the village put in with this 17 feet. Versus 19.5.
But, yeah, didn't reduce, you know, and I was going to walk through that for the board report, but since you brought it up, we had plans already out in the street for bid where we were providing 19 to 19 and a half feet of parking space, the length of a parking space.
Mm-hmm.
The village told us their plans now max out at 17 feet. Per parking space, which provides maximal green space. Now, I'm going to tell you that I feel as though some of the recommendations they have made could be a little cumbersome to us, but I have well documented that these changes are at the request of the village administration. So if some parent comes in and says, you know, there's not enough room for me to get my big SUV in here or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can only do what the village has more or less told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that if we didn't kind of change our plans, that we would not receive an administrative recommendation, which would doom our ability to take it and get passed through the Planning Commission
mm-hmm.
as well as the Village Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted smaller space?
We had them at 19 to 19 and a half feet every space, and they brought it back to 17 feet. That's what caused the bid to be delayed from February 14th when they were due back to February 28th. We had to go out and issue an addendum.
And that's just how you paint the parking lot, though?
No, it's where you put your concrete block.
Okay.
Yeah, it's where the curb is going to go around the parking lot. I mean, this is going to be a very defined area where now you could just pretty much pull up and over a space. There'll be a concrete curb and gutter.
So the big SUVs will have to use the drop-off lane.
It's not something that we recommended. It's not something that we felt was in the best interest, but it was something that we were pretty much told, do it or we won't get to
the Village Hall parking lot.
No, you know what, though? They did say, well, they gave us a couple of examples to look at. They said, like, the Taco Bell over on Roosevelt Road. But, you know, I tried to say to them, well, this isn't a Taco Bell. This isn't a commercial type of lot. This is a school district and a school building. And you know, we don't have the same types of uses as that, like that commercial lot with probably only 12 parking spaces versus 100, almost 130.
You can't apply that just to the Village of Glen Ellen portion.
No, actually, the Village of Glen Ellen has authority over this entire project. We had a meeting yesterday with the City of Wheaton going over final plans, and then also included in your packet here is an intergovernmental agreement that we're working to get a few items resolved with the City of Wheaton. They told us yesterday, you know what, the Village of Glen Ellen is the one that drives this project. When they pass it, they move into action and they'll present this intergovernmental agreement to their Village Planning Commission, to their board, and their goal is really to just present this as a consent agenda item. So I'll get back now. You see what we've done here in terms of where the project started, where we're at, so you have the visual, and then I wanted to walk you briefly through the board report that we've prepared here. As I spoke earlier, the bids were due back on the 14th of February. They came back on the 28th. We had 18 bidders participate in that project. As you can see, the base bids ran from just a penny under $1 million to a high of $1,260,000. You had the alternate bids come back from a low of $111,000 up to a max of $200,000. And then the prices range from $1,111,000 for total bid of project from $1,111,000 up to, and my belief is the folks from Linden and Sons probably filled out their bid form wrong, but I can only go by what's on the bid form, so their bid was determined at just an excess of $2.4 million. They still would not have been the whole bidder. That's why I didn't bother to question them or ask for clarification on that. So as part of this board report, I also gave a reconciliation in terms of what the original proposal came to look at, what the original estimates were for the base bid and the alternates, and I tried to come up with a total project cost as a sort of a comparison. The original bids, I feel as though the original bids or the original concept, the total price would have been about, total construction cost was about $938,300. It came back at $1,111,000 for a cost difference of $173,000 greater than what we had anticipated. I also wanted to, just below that, there's a table. Now, we've been pretty lucky over the projects that we've done the past 4 or 5 years. We really haven't had to dig into our allowances on any of the projects that the board has seen over the past 5 years. So I asked the architect, just give me an estimate. What amount of allowances are built into this bid? And what are allowances? There's allowances for signage. There's allowances for poor soil condition. There's allowances for plumbing. There's, you know, every type of construction that goes in here, there's some type of allowance built into that bid document just to provide for cost overruns. So overall, the total estimated construction costs are $1,111,000. The estimated professional fees are approximately $95,000. And we've already spent a good chunk of that between the initial design and then the bid document phase. I believe the construction part of their estimated fees, in other words, where they don't do daily supervision of the project, they provide site oversight of the entire project, and that usually, believe me, I'm on the phone with FGM almost every day. I mean, it's much more than what's indicated, really, than they have responsibility for. The balance for construction is about $25,000. The landscaping cost, we estimated about $35,000. So total estimated project costs of $1,241,000. After that, I also have attached the full run of the bids for base and the alternates. And then the final board report for the, related to this topic here is the intergovernmental agreement that's been put together. This document was given to me, I'm going to say, on Monday night. I immediately sent it on to our attorneys. Our attorneys have sent back some language changes, and now it's with the city of Wheaton reviewing those changes. They said they would expedite it as quickly as possible. You know, I might get something tomorrow or Monday morning so I can include it as an updated bit of information when we bring this to the Finance Committee for discussion on Monday. But in either case...
We're saying you get back to Finance?
No, to the Board for discussion, excuse me. To the Board for discussion of Monday. If I get any other additional information, I'll be happy to give you an update at that time. One item that Ann and I were discussing, and the attorneys for that matter too, is item number five, that should the city of Wheaton be required to do any work along Glencoe and they were to disturb our development in this easement area, that we would be related, that we would be responsible for those costs.
Putting it back in place.
Putting it back to its original order. You know, I spoke to the architect. They said it's normal language when you construct something in a municipal's easement. You're usually responsible if something gets damaged, changed, whatever. So this is just sort of boilerplate language, but we have brought it up to the city of Wheaton, sort of challenging it. And so it's with the city, their experts, as well as with their attorney. So as again, I'll update you as the information becomes available.
How will it get plowed in the winter?
Are there plows?
I mean, are there plows just going to dump into the parking spot and we have to come along and move it off?
Item six. Yep.
We are responsible for all of the plowing in the easement area. I would hope that
It probably will get dumped in there.
It could.
I mean, that's what the plow is, move it off to the outside.
I wouldn't expect
just like our driveways.
I wouldn't expect the city of Wheaton to come in and sort of, you know, if they plow it in our easement, they're not going to come back and clean it. But, you know, our trucks are all outfitted with plows. Our guys plow our lots regularly. And we have a good working relationship with our other governmental parties. I'm sure that's not going to be a big deal. We'll get it resolved.
We probably can coordinate the plowing schedule to some extent with them, you know.
Yeah, hopefully they come in first thing in the morning and we can clean it up if necessary before the buses arrive or something.
No, I was just thinking more of the damage area. They move the plows in there and start to hit something. You're saying we're responsible.
Yeah, they won't go in that far. They'll just go straight down the street.
Right. That's what I think. Yes, true.
The difference, the $173,000, what, do you have a sense of what that number comes from? Is that based on increased fuel costs related to asphalt?
No, that could be a part of it. I will tell you the changes along this area here a recommendation that came from the building itself, that single drop-off lane probably cost us several tens of thousands of dollars. I spoke with the engineers. They think it's between $35,000 and $50,000, that change. Mm-hmm. I will also tell you that the original estimates that were given to me by FGM were higher, more in line with the way the actual bid came in. But I also know that over the 5 years that I've been here, that the architects have always sort of guarded themselves on protecting themselves so that,
they've been more conservative.
They've been much more conservative, and we've always come in substantially under budget. So I was trying to give you a more accurate number in terms of expectations. Mm-hmm. And this one I probably got a little too over cautious, if you will, or
not cautious enough.
Not cautious enough.
Mm-hmm. An estimate. Remember, there were no.
I mean, the plans weren't even in final design stage when we came up with these cost estimates. So, you know, once I got their estimates back, they were pretty much right on target. I was probably should have padded it a little bit more, and I didn't.
Well, the one document that I kept was from when we first started the conversation, October 11th, and it's exactly $173,000 difference from your original. So, and I remember you telling us that this was without the detail. And
there were no details. There were just very, very rough, back of the envelope type of numbers.
Bob, you talked a little bit about allowances that we built in. When the village starts to undo, you know, pull up the ground and do their work that for that $25,000 or whatever it is, $30,000, if they, you know, come across some things that need additional work or that they're not, they weren't prepared for, are they going to cover that?
They'll have to cover it. Now, okay. I wanted to point out here that whether we move forward with this project or not, the village is more or less going to be taking over here, over this area right here, because they're going to be running all new utilities along this Hawthorne area. So no matter what, they're still coming in off of Hawthorne and going to go in and redo this line and everything else in that area. They would be responsible for any of, you know, any thing that may come up.
Yeah.
Whether
that
we
they
do
would
the project
weren't
or
prepared
do
for or whatever.
And, you
okay.
know, we have a good working relationship with the village. You saw some of the good work we did when Bryant was redeveloped a couple years ago.
Yeah.
ago.
No, you've done a great job in building those relationships. And
so I don't anticipate any major issues just because of the relationships that we've built over the past several years. Mm-hmm. And it usually just takes a phone call and a meeting and we get things resolved.
What was the, the village asked for some changes?
Say that again?
You know, the village had requested some changes, but they were going to kick in some.
Well, the kick in here is this development.
Well, they weren't going to kick in.
No, but
the quote unquote kick in is this area right in here.
So will they be doing the landscaping on that area too?
They are due to replace all the trees that are in the parkway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we have trees and we had to go through an application, formal process with the city of Wheaton. We have trees that are in the easement along here, along Glencoe. The trees are going to be maintained up to the portables. So we won't be touching those trees, but trees from north of the portables to the end of our property, I think there's about 15 of them there, those are going to have to be taken out. I would not, for lack of a better term, I would not allow them to repaint or replant those trees. They wanted to put them on the inside of the fence along Glencoe on the Hadley property, but we use that field for exercise, for cross country, for soccer. So the bargain was that we would replant trees more in the area of around the portables area. So there is a formal tree landscaping. There's an agreement in place about the replacement that needs to occur. And so there'll be a little denser planting of trees in areas where we already have them, because you have to go with a one-for-one replacement. Otherwise, they'll turn down your application.
So all 15 trees have to be replaced.
Somewhere on our property.
Somewhere on our property.
That's correct. And we've already done the permitting. It's already been approved. Mm-hmm. So they're good to go.
Same
with that.
Same type of tree or just
no,
some,
they, yeah,
some
different
kind of
types of trees. And I'll tell you,
bush or
several of those trees out there are dead or near it now.
I know. Well, I would say I walk that, you know. Yeah. And it's, some of them are in great shape. So.
Yeah. A couple of them have already come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over the years we've taken some down.
So hopefully they don't come. No, if they're stumps, they don't count.
I think they did count. I got to tell you, there's a lot of tree hugs.
Yeah.
People like their trees.
Yeah.
So is that replacement work, is that part of the alternate, or is that part of the landscaping portion of the
tree replacement?
Oh, that's part of the landscaping cost. It's part of the landscaping cost. So all the, we're not putting any of the landscaping on the contractor. Just as we did at Franklin and just as we do with all of our projects, we like to maintain or manage the landscaping ourselves here at the district. Any of the projects that we've been over the past several years, the landscaping part, we've managed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's outside the bidding process.
Well, the last question I had, and I think I forget this every year, you said this is a 2012 summer capital project, but it's in the 2012-2013 fiscal year.
Yeah, we start our fiscal year.
That's the way it always works. Mm-hmm.
Always works like that. Yeah, so we always start a year in advance.
Now, because you pay for your project in the new fiscal year. Now, some of our professional fees
absolutely
are in the current,
right,
but
But the bulk of the project would be in the next
year. The construction phase, you know, they're not going to start this till really, you know, we get out of school the last day in May. They'll probably give them a week for setup, but we would expect this to get started like that first, second week of June, because one of the reasons that we're on such a tight timeline now is those these underground structures are specifically designed for this project. Okay, you don't go off the shelf and just purchase something that's there. They are they're individually designed for this project here, and they take 10 to 12 weeks order time. So if we approve this on April 9th, May 9th, June 9th, we're due to start that project. And the first thing that's going to go in, they're going to come in, they'll do all the demo, and then they'll do the excavating work and set that storm structure in first. Mm-hmm. That's a huge chunk of work to do there. If you remember when we did the Franklin project, this is what really took a lot of time. Mm-hmm. They go down 16, 18 feet.
Yeah. It'd be a big hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just so I can keep myself straight. So the 21st century, like all those other summer capital projects, mm-hmm. this is all together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all out of the same budget year.
Right. Okay.
And the only other one is the painting.
That's the only other summer project. Now I do,
which isn't really capital projects, right?
Right. We went out to bid for painting today, and we went out to bid today for all the furniture that I brought to the finance committee. I guess last week is when we talked about it. Mm-hmm. So everything is out there now on the street to be bid. We expect everything back in 2 weeks. that'll give me a better idea in terms of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
As a result of doing the underground, that's going to eliminate a lot of the leakage out of
the runoff. Let me tell you what's occurred on the Hadley site really since it's been developed. We've shed all of our water. We have not held any of our water on that site. Everything comes off and sheds to the southwest. That's why you always see that leaking occurring on the southwest corner of our property along the sidewalks and where the parking lot drops off about 3 or 4 feet. We have never retained any of our water. Now we'll be capturing all of our water on our site, and then it'll be captured in an underground detention, and there's a restrictor that runs from the underground detention right before it hits the stormwater system that's actually in the city of Wheaton, and that will restrict the flow of water so it eases the burden on the river system or the stormwater system. And it's just an interesting fact that we found out yesterday. All the water from that side of town actually ends up in Hubble. So whenever you hear about the flooding that occurs in Hubble, it's all the water from this side of town. That's where it ends up.
Really?
No wonder it's such a bad
place. But wait, they love us.
But it will remediate any of those issues that the neighbors have been experiencing by putting that underground.
I know when it gets cold.
End up at Hubble. I mean,
according to the city,
and that won't happen.
We asked the question, where does this all this water from this area go? And they said it ends up at Hubble.
The natural watershed.
The natural
Carrick Lake is right over there. Why do you think it go into that's part of a natural waterway?
We asked the question yesterday, and that's what we were told.
Interesting nano fact.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and we were with the city yesterday. We're talking about the development that's going to occur on that Hadley site, the Hubble site, and
The old Hubble.
The old Hubble, and what's going to happen, you know, with this new development going in there, and they said Main Street's still going to flood. They have no idea.
Oh, it's the old Hubble site.
The old Hubble. New Hubble.
I thought it was the new Hubble site.
It's the old Hubble site. That's where the natural watershed is at, and it's still going to flood. Even after the development.
Maybe they should just make it into a pond.
A river walk or something like that.
A river that goes nowhere. Maybe they could make it a lazy river.
Like they have in Naperville. All right.
So this goes to the board.
It'll go to the board Monday for discussion and an action on April 9th.
Okay.
So that's the end of my formal presentation. Are there any other questions I might be able to answer for you this evening?
Could we email this to John and Tara and Sam?
I'll forward it on. If you want me to, excuse me, I can email it tomorrow morning.
We can do it's not in board book, we just got it.
Oh, yeah. So you can put it on board book then,
yeah.
I can push it up. Well, you know, I'll talk to Carolyn.
Maureen can put it on.
Yeah, we'll send it over to Maureen tomorrow, and she can push it up.
But, you know, let's get a clarification and ask them to redo this chart.
I'll ask them about that part.
Yeah.
I did the count, and the 118 is all-inclusive because it's 78 plus 6 plus
30. And you can see it laid out here in the diagram. It's just an articulated east lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they chose
even
to do it the way they did.
Even if they just titled this differently.
Well, or do what they did over here, just make east lot and
east
lot. Yeah. So it is 8
because people aren't...
And they did it. Exactly. You know what that is. Okay. Are we anything...
I have nothing else. So
Steve, Dan,
Bob,
good.
I'm sorry.
We're
I am done with the presentation. Any other questions you might have for me?
Anything else? Any other issues?
Yeah. Well, one thing. Got the final bill from Light Construction. That came in. The final payment's about $17,500. So Dan and the Finance Committee, you guys saw that reconciliation I gave a couple of weeks ago. The final bill has been submitted and will be paid out of this month's board bills. So the project is done, and we're under budget for the project that we just finished.
Maybe you could update that final.
I always will update those. I keep them year to year now in terms of that project reconciliation.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.